Welcome to the King's Court, the online podcast of the Haunted Majestic Haunted Attraction, West Virginia's only floating haunt. We welcome you this evening to our second of four off-season internet radio shows. I am horror writer Michael Nost, and I'll be your host this evening as we delve into some of the plans for Haunted Majestic's Fall 2020 Haunt Season. And our first guest this evening is Tony Bowen, the haunt director at Haunted Majestic. Tony's job is to plan and oversee the actual haunt experience from scene concept to prop construction and everything in between. Tony, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, Tony, tell us a little bit about the off-season for a haunted attraction in general and what you guys have been up to since last fall.
Well, we've actually been doing quite a bit. We are pretty much transforming the entire haunt to where nothing's going to be the same as it was the previous season. Any of the returning customers, I mean, they're going to notice a big difference from the time that they walk up to the ticket booth. They're going to see considerable changes from the get-go. We're adding a ton of new scenes, especially up on the upper end of the land base of our haunt. We've been working probably the past couple of months on set decorations and all of that up there. We've also are incorporating a zombie paintball. That's going to be new as well this year. It's going to be separate from the haunt. And the customers, they can come in and ride on our zombie truck, and it's going to take you down a trail. And we're going to have a bunch of targets, a bunch of walking dead that's going to be walking around for you to shoot at. So that's going to be an interesting venue for our customers. And as far as the boat, we are working diligently down there. This past season, our theme was a little bit sporadic. This year it's going to be more boat themed. And last year we didn't open up all the rooms. We just didn't have time. But this year we are going to have to open up all the rooms. So there's even going to be more scenes incorporated in that.
And I'm sure while the stress level of running a haunted attraction is at its max in the fall seasons and the fall months, I should say, there's probably quite a bit of pressure the rest of the year as well, right?
Well, we kind of always feel like we're behind the eight ball, that we never have enough time. But I don't really get stressed out. I love doing that stuff. I've been a huge fan of Halloween since I was little. It's my favorite time of year.
Me too.
So the opportunity of getting down there and being able to work on Halloween-related things all year long, I absolutely love it. I kind of look at it as a stress reliever, but it does, as the season gets closer, we do tend to get a bit rushed and a little bit stressed. But I think the thing that I stress about the most is everything that we create, all the ideas that we've implemented and everything, just to make sure that our customers like what we've put out there for them.
Without giving away any of your secret plans for this fall, what can people coming to Haunted Majestic later this year look forward to experiencing?
Well, this year we were able to add several new animatronics that are run from pneumatics to where we didn't have that last year. All of the props in which we're making is something that you're not going to see anywhere else. It's just specific to our theme. It's just original stuff that we've created. The zombie paintball is something for people to look forward to. That's going to be new. And all the changes that we've done on the land-based side of the haunt, we've added a ton of stuff up there. So there's a lot.
A lot to experience and have fun with, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think that everybody's going to be really thrilled and really impressed with the amount of changes that we're incorporating this year compared to what we did last year.
Well, there'll be no doubt about that. You guys knocked it out of the park last time. This time, looking for great things. Tony, thanks again for joining us this evening on the King's Court. We appreciate the efforts that you and your team put into the into Haunted Majestic all year round, and we look forward to seeing your work up close beginning October 16th when Haunted Majestic's 2020 haunt season kicks off.
We're looking forward to it.
If you want to keep up with what Tony and his crew are working on at Haunted Majestic, check out the Haunts website at www.hauntedmajestic.com or follow the venue on Facebook and Instagram, where you'll find updates and photos posted several times each week, year-round. Well, our next guest on the King's Court this evening is someone who spends his free time doing something most of us wouldn't dare, and that's breathing fire. Joining us this evening is Casey Sutton, also known in the haunted attraction world as the Fire Felon. Casey, welcome to the King's Court.
Thanks, Michael. I really appreciate you guys having me.
Now, Casey, as you've probably heard by now, Haunted Majestic isn't your average haunted attraction, and organizers here constantly think out of the box by involving special guests and entertainers to keep their customers happy. And I understand that you are going to be part of the entertainment card on Halloween weekend. Tell us a little bit about what you have planned for the evenings of October 30th and 31st.
Well, I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I do fire eating and breathing, juggling. I can light my body on fire and a few other things that'll be a surprise. I also have a really strong team behind me, and they don't get enough thanks. They keep me safe. A couple of them, or one of them, will also be performing with me, like a small duet type thing. Recently, we've been developing stuff that involves chemistry, and it's been really spectacular results. We're super excited to share that with everybody.
And while a lot of us have a sideline gig that we enjoy, really there aren't many people who have made fire breathing part of their weekend fun. Tell us, what led you to your fascination with fire?
Well, I mean, mankind's path has always entwined with fire. We have a little bit of caveman left in us still, and you can kind of feel that. I mean, even a regular campfire can do it to you sometimes. You know, you get lost in your thoughts while staring into it. But I'd never seen what I do until I was 19 and I was living in Morgantown. Outside of a house party, there's a man who had two chains with each chain had a ball on the end, and of course the ball is on fire, and he's just swinging them around. It was really, really incredible to watch. I'd never seen anything like that before. I befriended him and started to do that as a hobby for another 5 years, and then went from professional right around then, which was 5 or 6 years ago. My mom hates it.
Before we let you go, a lot of people are probably wondering about your stage name, The Fire Felon. How did that come about?
Well, I have to be honest. I've actually never been arrested, and I'm going to knock on some wood there. It is just a stage name. But there's a story in Morgantown after a WVU football game, a riot was triggered by a kid who was fire breathing. You know, they were all out in the streets, and this kid starts breathing fire on the sidewalk, and people just start going nuts. And they charged him with inciting a riot, which is a federal offense. And I don't know if that story is true or not. It wasn't me. But I don't know. I guess I just like alliteration. No, wait. I've got a better answer. Hold on. The tricks I should do are so hot they should be illegal.
There you go. That's marketing.
Yeah, it was just a good sounding name. I like it. Most people do.
Well, I'm sure that everyone is going to really enjoy what you do, and I'm looking forward to meeting you myself. So, Casey, thanks for chatting with us today.
No problem at all, Mark. I can't wait to see you guys too.
Folks, be sure to spend part of your Halloween weekend with the Fire Felon October 30th and 31st during Haunted Majestic's Halloween Horrors Weekend when he visits Haunted Majestic. See the complete schedule of guests on the event's website at www.hauntedmajestic.com. I'm really excited to talk with our next guest. We have with us one of the originators of the zombie genre that we see so often today in books and on television, on the big screen. John A. Russo is the screenwriter and co-creator of the original 1968 Night of the Living Dead, one of America's best-known zombie motion pictures, the one that scared the bejeebas out of me when I was just a kid. John, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
While virtually everyone in America is familiar with the term zombie in today's society, that wasn't always the case. Tell us about your original screenplay and how it led to one of the cult classic horror films that we've seen at one time or another in our lives.
Well, George Romero and I were the two writers of the group, and once we decided that we didn't have enough money to do a science fiction thing, which I was working on one that involved a saucer landing and so on, then we decided, well, let's just concentrate on horror because we can probably make a lot better horror film than what we're seeing on Chili Billy's late night show. And, you know, they buy a string of cheaply produced movies from Mexico, and sometimes you could see tubifores hanging out of the monster and so on. Whatever we did, we wanted to make a really good movie. We wanted to make the best movie that we could. It's quite a long story how it all came about, that George and I would bash ideas around, and I said, well, whatever we do ought to start in a cemetery because people find cemeteries scary. Even, you know, Abbott and Costello meet Dracula. They're in a cemetery, and the candles moving all over the coffin, and it's funny, but it's also scary.
Yeah.
So I started working on a thing where these kids are in a cemetery, and they've stolen a case of beer, and it's Halloween time. One of them is wearing a ghoul mask. Anyway, they get caught, and the one kid gets punished, and he's running away from home with his pack on his back, and crack, he steps through a pane of glass, and under the pane of glass is a rotting corpse. And you don't know why that's there right then, but the idea was that aliens are already here. That way I didn't have to go through the expense of showing a saucer landing or anything. They're already here, and they're killing people and eating them, and they like them to be a little rotted. Just like in medieval times when people shot a goose, they'd hang it up to rot for a few days before they cooked it. So that's the idea I was working on. And George went away just before Christmas. He stayed home for a weekend, wrote like mad, and came back with 20 or 30 pages of a story that started in a cemetery and had the brother and his sister. The brother gets smacked against the tombstone and the sister's running away. And I read it and I said, you know, George, this has all the right twists and turns and suspense, but who's chasing this girl? You never say. And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, reading it, I thought they could be dead people. He said, that's good. I said, but what are they after? You don't say that either. And he said, I don't know. And I said, well, why don't we use my flesh-eating idea? So that's how they became dead people after human flesh. And without those ideas, you don't have Night of the Living Dead or any of the stuff that's come after and become a phenomenon. So actually, Night of the Living Dead was a phenomenon from the time it was first released, and then it just spawned all kinds of spin-offs and remakes and sequels and everything else. To this day, it's still going.
Were you guys surprised at the cult following that Night of the Living Dead has gained over the years?
We weren't so surprised by any of it because we were there for every second of it. It never really stopped. You know, the movie became a hit immediately and moved across the country, and it played at the Waverly Theater in New York for a year and a half, and it played at the largest theater in Rome for a year or two, and it just kept going. So, and then right away, not just the imitators or the people that were inspired by it, like Sam Raimi did The Evil Dead right after we did Night of the Living Dead. And then George and I did our own sequels and spinoffs like Return of the Living Dead, in my case, in his case, Dawn of the Dead. Then we collaborated on the remake in 1990. It just never stopped. Nothing really surprised us, except sometimes you just think about it and sometimes it just hits you. Well, we started all this, you know, so
yeah. And that's true, you guys started the whole thing. It's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, so it's gratifying to have done that, and one of the most gratifying things is we inspired other filmmakers and taught them. You know, I was a teacher, and I've written three best-selling books on movie making that are considered Bibles of the industry. And you know, a lot of famous filmmakers and a lot of not so famous give me credit for that. When I met Quentin Tarantino at the Land of the Dead premiere, he said in front of everybody that my books guided him through his first complete feature. So that was nice. I use that blurb pretty often in things now.
And not just those nonfiction type of books, but I think one of the things that many people probably don't know about you these days is that you spend a lot of your time training new actors and writers and producers in the horror genre through the John Russo Movie Making Program, which is part of a business college in Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was, but you know, the school, this business college went out of business, so we haven't put the program anywhere else yet. I'm too busy doing other things, so you know, I'm still pretty active. I've done 30 novels and about 4 nonfiction books, and you know, I'm still getting published and still making movies. So you know, Gary Vincent is going to be with me at the Majestic. Gary was my producer on My Uncle John is a Zombie, which is a horror comedy we made that's in international distribution now, and it's getting good reviews all over the place. I play the Uncle John character. I'm getting good reviews for that, and Gary plays my nephew in the movie, and we're setting up right now to do a remake of my movie Midnight, which was first out in 1982 on a low budget. And now, I have a really good script, updating it and rewriting it, and we're casting it now. So Gary's going to direct it. I'm going to be executive producer, and that's how it's going.
I think a lot of people are surprised when I talk to them that you've written novels that they don't know, and these are supposed to be people who are fans of yours. And I'm like, how can you be a fan and not know that he's written novels?
Well, people don't read.
Oh, that's true.
Unfortunately, a lot of them don't worry. They'll sit there and watch a movie.
Yeah.
But they don't. Yeah. But the books have been, you know, I've sold probably about 4 million books worldwide. And
wow.
They do get good reviews, and they've been published in about, you know, 20 or 25 different languages. So, you know, and I'm still getting published. So
that's good. And writing and producing has received a whole lot of your attention over the past 6 decades, but you've done a little acting as well. Even you made a little appearance in the original Night of the Living Dead film, right?
Only because I had to. Yeah, I mean, we were in a cemetery shooting that scene, and there were only basically 6 of us. So, you know, we were a tightly knit production unit, but we worked our butts off and we knew what to do. But there was nobody around to play the ghoul. And I got into the makeup, and Carl Hardman helped me with the makeup, and I'm ready to go. And then Bill Hinesman showed up. He was very thin, and he had this gaunt look, and he had a black suit. I said, good, you be the ghoul, and I'll keep loading magazines. So then later, the same thing happened. The ghoul that breaks into the house and goes after the girl while Ben is outside beating the ones that have broken headlights out of his truck. And then while he's doing that, I'm coming in the back door. So again, nobody was around. I get into the makeup again, and I did that part, which, you know, it ended up that Hinesman and I were the 2 featured ghouls in the movie. Of course, Russ Striner was the iconic character Johnny, and when Johnny comes back and drags his sister out of the house, that's another iconic scene. But the movie's full of iconic scenes by now.
Yeah,
you know,
that's for sure.
It's just a total phenomenon in the sense that it's been on screens ever since it was made. And I don't think there's another film like that. I mean, even Gone with the Wind or Wizard of Oz or whatever, you name it, they come out now and then, reissued or, you know, out on whatever new format comes to light. But Night of the Living Dead has never stopped.
And you guys definitely were trailblazers, and you still are. And man, I tell you what, it's been so good talking to you. By the way, you can also stay up to date on everything John is doing when you visit his website, thejohnrusso.com.
Or go to myunclejohnisazombie.com. The Blu-rays and DVDs are freshly out. There's a lot of great products and things that you can buy and get autographed and so on.
That's right. And you can get autographed books, posters, all kinds of things. Go take a look and see what you can find and buy it. Because, hey, John is, he really makes a whole lot of money where he's on the road going to conventions and stuff like that. And because of everything that's going on right now, he's not able to do that. So you can support John, and get yourself some good stuff by visiting and picking that stuff up. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
John A. Russo will be part of Haunted Majestic's Weekend of the Dead festivities on October 23rd and 24th in 2020. So be sure to stop by the pavilion area at the haunt and just say hi to one of the founders of the zombie craze. A general admission ticket to Haunted Majestic gains you access to all the guests who are appearing on the night of your attendance. Photos and autographs are free to all ticket holders. Well, unfortunately, another episode of the King's Court is coming to an end. We hope you've enjoyed this evening's program, and we invite you to come back for a listen to this podcast or previous episodes by clicking on the King's Court section of the website at www.hauntedmajestic.com. We'll be back with another podcast on July 15th, and we'll have our final off-season broadcast on September 1st as we continue to update you on all the news and events surrounding Haunted Majestic. Until we meet again, I'm your host, Michael Nost, thanking you for tuning in to this edition of the King's Court. Have a good night.